Have you ever wondered how taboo, shame, and lack of good sexual education have stripped away elements of pleasure in childbirth and parenting that are essential to loving, intimate relationships? Join me for another episode of our Orgasmic Birth Podcast, Pleasure in Pregnancy, Birth, and Parenting, as we break down and heal barriers and open the door to more love and intimacy in birth and life. So, did you listen to last week's episode? Oh my goodness, right? Karina Devi gave us the most powerful, passionate, pleasurable first birth story. And I hope you're like me. I've been waiting, sitting on the edge to hear how things moved forward for baby number two. She let us know she's only 3 months postpartum now. So get ready for another incredible episode. If you'd like to positively prepare for childbirth with more of our tools, resources gathered from teaching thousands of people all around the world, check out my Pleasurable Birth Essentials classes or my private birth coaching at orgasmicbirth.com for parents. Or if you want to become a doula and birth forward this wisdom, you can go to orgasmicbirth.com for doulas. Hi, I'm Deborah Pascali Bonaro, founder and director of Orgasmic Birth and host of the Orgasmic Birth podcast. And my guest returning today is Karina Devi. She is a childbirth educator, a former doula, herbalist, writer, and mother of two. She co-founded the Mindful Mamas app, supporting mothers' mental health, teaches trauma-informed mindfulness at EOU, and her biggest passion is democratizing empowered birth education. Karina, welcome back.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Oh, last week, oh my goodness, I still feel the oxytocin, the tears, just the incredible wisdom that your words, your connection to your body, your baby, your own birth story, right? We talked about your mother's orgasmic birth, but let's pick up now. After you had your first son, there was some time, right? And you found yourself pregnant again and preparing for another birth. Did you do anything different from the lessons learned in your first birth to kind of bring that into preparing for your second baby?
Well, a lot of time had passed. My sons are 8 years apart. So I had been through a divorce. I had had a few years as a single mom. I was with a new partner. And I feel like in that time, my experience in my birth continued to bestow wisdom and lessons. And what it really did was that it woke me up to my power, the power of using my voice, the clarity of I'm so much stronger than I've ever given myself credit for. And that really carried me through some of the hardships in those years. So the wisdom and the lessons just kind of continued to unfold. So by the time I got to this next pregnancy, I kind of had this feeling of like, you know, and I, the feeling was like, I think I could not prepare at all and I'd still have an amazing experience. And then I would catch myself and like, is that me being cocky? Is that like arrogant and I'm going to regret feeling that way? But there was this sense of, I know that I could not dive back into hypnobabies, not read anything, not practice any breaths. And I already, as women, we innately have everything we need within us to have our babies. So I definitely took things a little bit differently. I wasn't reading 12 books like I did in my first pregnancy. I wasn't, you know, inhaling everything hypnobabies could give me. I just really leaned into the joy of being pregnant. I love being pregnant, not so much in the first 3 months, but it was like spring and summertime when I was in my second and early third trimester, and I was feeling like my pregnancy was kind of following the seasons of the year. And it was so beautiful to feel myself in this relationship where there was like the symbiosis between nature and my pregnancy progressing. I was also taking an herbalism certification course at the time. So I was out in the woods foraging. I was making, you know, medicinal teas for myself to support my pregnancy. And so there was just this fusion of how good it can be to be pregnant. And it was all joy this time. There wasn't a challenging marriage to deal with. It was so supported, so full of love, so sexy. And I really, really reveled in that. One thing that I did try to do was to, I really wanted to block out any birth stories that really talked about pain and hardship, that really talked about how hard it can be, that were, you know, I kind of just wanted to have this very small bubble of only giving my energy to the types of births that I wanted to have. And I was very open to what that was. I didn't feel like super attached to having a pleasurable birth again or having a spiritual birth again. I kind of just felt open to whatever life was going to bring me. And I remember at one point sitting down to write my birth vision, which in my first birth, I wrote in the most minute detail and almost everything came true. But then I'd sit down and write it and be like, I feel like it's not for me to choose this time. I feel like it's just for me to experience and to receive whatever this baby has in store for me. But I did want to kind of anchor into good stories. You know, I think we need good birth stories because it's so easy, especially when you're a birth worker, to find yourself exposed to all sorts of stories that you wouldn't necessarily want to experience yourself. So I'd listen to the Orgasmic Birth podcast. I'd go on sometimes Free Birth Society. And I actually found it really hard outside of those few resources to find the kinds of stories I was looking for. You know, a lot of what I would hear was, you know, women whose first birth was really challenging or traumatic, and then that kind of propelled them into making different choices the second time around or getting different support. But I didn't want to hear that. You know, I was like, those stories are totally valid, of course, but I kind of wanted something that mirrored my experience. I think I was looking for, where do I go next? And I was looking to see that reflected in the world around me. And I got really frustrated because I just couldn't find it. So a lot of my pregnancy, I felt this anger and this frustration at just kind of the state of modern maternity care in the US, the state of how hard it is for so many women to have empowered birth experiences, to have true informed consent. So this baby brought up a lot of fire in me, which was interesting. And yeah, so I didn't do too much of anything that was concrete to prepare. And this one was a little bit different too, because I ended up going to 42 weeks, which I did not expect. You know,
maybe too, right? We think often a little bit earlier, maybe, but good to hear. Yeah. How are you feeling in the wait?
So I kind of had it in my mind and was telling my husband, because, you know, the new husband, first baby for him, was like, plan for any time off until after 40 weeks. Like, you know, the first one was 40 weeks, 4 days. I'll probably be right around there, right? Maybe a little earlier. And then we get there and it's like, okay, 41 weeks. Okay, here we go. So I started to bump up against the limitations of my midwife's license. You know, in Oregon, she can only attend me until 43 weeks. And after 41 and I think 6 days, I have to have 2 non-stress tests a week. And at this point, you know, it was a very hands-off pregnancy. That's what I've really liked in midwifery care, is like, you tell me what tests you think are, you know, let me know what's offered at this time and I'll say yes or no. And so now that there was this kind of thumb on my experience of, you have to do this or you can't have your midwife anymore, it brought up more of that fire and that frustration. You know, I hated that even choosing an experience sort of outside of the system, laws could still dictate what I did with my own body. And so I kind of, you know, traversed this line through those last couple of weeks where there was this frustration coming up, but there was also, you know, it's a big test of faith to go that long. You hear people talking about stillbirth and all sorts of complications. You hear people, everyone wants to know, like, okay, do you want the induction tips? I'm like, no. I'm tempted, but no. And I'm so grateful for my midwife. She was so great at being like, okay, we could do these things if you want, but I'm not gonna, you know, offer it to you unless you really want it. So I didn't feel like I was being pushed to induce, but I definitely got the message of like, hey, the world is watching and waiting. Let's have that baby. And I just kind of wanted to like crawl off into the woods and find a little tree and hole up until I had my baby and then come back. I just wanted to retreat from the world. And it was a really big test of faith to lean into what I knew, to lean into the wisdom of my own body, trusting that my baby knows when to be born. And I definitely had some times where I'm like on the evidence-based birth website reading about post-dates, births and risks and like, okay, here's the relative risk and here's the absolute risk and just, you know, trying to wrap my very hazy third trimester brain around it. And I had a couple of like stops and starts with this labor. It wasn't the same progression as the first one. I'd had one day where I had been having contractions like 10 minutes apart all day, and then they stopped. And then a few days later, I have this one night where, you know, I'm up from like 1 to 4 a.m. with contractions coming at pretty regular intervals. And then I go to sleep and I wake up and they're gone. So I knew that things were happening. And I was just trying to remind myself, like, my body knows what it's doing. My baby knows what it's doing. And this is progress. Every contraction is progress. So I don't need to, you know, I don't need to worry about it. But it was a really big test of faith to stay in that space of like, it's all good. Because, you know, my intuition wasn't ringing off any alarm bells. There was no sense of something's kind of off and you should get checked out. It was just like, this is just how this one is. That's it. It's different and that's okay. So that was really important to just remind myself of. And so I had this one night where I had been, it was that night when I had been up for a few hours. And I'm just, again, like, oh, I missed these sensations. I missed this feeling. There's just something so ancestral about feeling these squeezes inside my body. It's like getting a big bear hug in places where no one can hug, you know, the insides of your pelvic ligaments and bones. And it just was so delicious. So I wake up the next morning and I wake up to this hot trickle down my thigh. I was like, oh, yes, finally, we're getting somewhere. And this was at 41 weeks and 6 days. So I was right there on the edge of 42 weeks. I wake up, I go check things out. I'd lost my mucus plug. And I'm really wanting to just be in my cave. Like, I don't want anyone to know. I don't want to see anybody. But I let my midwife know just in case, like, hey, you know, in case things pick up quickly, lost my mucus plug, water broke. And I tell my husband and he's just like, okay, I'm going to cancel all my calls and I'm going to start my paternity leave. And I'm like, no, do not do that yet. Just wait. And so I'm just kind of moving about my business in the morning and I'm not having any contractions. And I'm just kind of watching and waiting. And it's kind of weird to be in that space because you don't want to push things along unnecessarily. But there's also this like watching, waiting, like, is it going to happen? Like, what's, you know, is this the exciting day we've been waiting for or not? So I go and I take a walk. I'm walking around and I'm doing a little bit of like the mile circuit and kind of recording some voice memos on my phone, like a little diary of what's happening and what I'm feeling. And there's just nothing. Like sometimes I could get contractions to pick up. Sometimes I'd use some herbs, but then they'd sort of dwindle off. So I was like, okay, I know that I feel watched right now. Even just my midwife, who I trust completely, and my husband, who I trust completely, they were the only ones who knew, and it still felt like too many eyes. So I just knew, like, this isn't going to happen until nighttime. I just knew it. So I go about my day. I'm trying to do my best to just relax, watch some funny movies, not think about it, which is, you know, kind of impossible with your water broken. At least for me, it was. And then my husband is so tired that day that he takes a nap, and this guy never naps. And I was like, okay, he's getting prepared. This is him. This is his body knowing he's going to be up all night. So he ends up going to bed super early, right after dinner. I'm kind of cleaning things up and I start to feel this the biggest contraction yet. I'm like, okay, my body gets that it's dark, everyone's asleep, it's safe, we can unfurl now. So I just kind of moving around the house, and I have this thought of like, I wonder when they're going to start to pull me in. You know, they had been so mild and easy and I could talk through them and go about my business. And I was like, I wonder when I'm going to be just sort of pulled into that other world. And right then I have one of those contractions where I've got to stop and lean on the counter and breathe through it. I was so excited. So I thought, okay, I need to go to bed right now because I think I'm going to be up all night. I never ended up getting to sleep. I was in bed contracting, and I actually found that this was so different from the first birth, but these early labor contractions were a lot more powerful. And I was really having to use some of my tools, and I was having some back labor too, which I hadn't felt before, but you know, you hear all the stories about like, oh, it's so painful. And so I'm laying there in my bed and I'm trying to get to know these sensations and trying to figure out how can I make these early labor contractions? Like, how can I soften them? How can I be with them fully? And I noticed that if I smiled through the length of the contraction, there was no pain and it wasn't even that intense. So I was just laying in bed, like half sleeping between contractions, and then one would come up and like, ah, like forcing myself to just smile as big as I could. But it worked. It was great.
I loved it. I have to share this. Friend of mine, Yeshi, an amazing midwife in Indonesia. She one time, I said, what would be a short way to tell women to have an orgasmic birth? And she said, when these lips are smiling, so are the other lips, right? The labia. And so that's what, when I hear you just smiling through it, it's helping that cervix just soften and open, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. It's so funny. Tell the story because, you know, I'm only 3 months postpartum. So it's like the pieces are kind of still being pulled together, right? It takes a little time for that. So if there's some holes or takes me a little bit to find the words, I'm like, what happened over there?
So keep going now. You're smiling, you know, keep going. What's happening next in your mind and your body?
Mm-hmm. So one thing that I was doing was timing my contractions with, you know, an app on my phone, which I had never done before. But in late pregnancy, my sense of time completely deteriorated. I couldn't tell 5 minutes from 3 hours. I was just so in that other world. So I was using a contraction timer because I remember my midwife, she lives about an hour away. She's like, okay, you know, I need like an hour and a half to prepare and get my kids ready and get to you. So, you know, when they're about 5 minutes apart, that's when you should let me know so I can come. So I had no ability to track that within myself. So I'm using an app, and looking back, I think being on my phone, it kind of put me into this space where it was hard to turn my brain off. It was so easy in my first labor. And this time, so much of this birth was mental more than anything. There were lots of thoughts. It was, you know, what's that breathing technique and what do I do? And, you know, I kept trying to find the thing that would make these contractions feel better or change in some way or be more pleasurable. And I kind of got to this point where I was like, okay, this is just how they are right now. They might change, but I don't need to like try and figure them out. But still, my brain was just kind of looping and, you know, thinking a lot. So I get to the point where my contractions are, some of them are 5 minutes apart, but they were so irregular. And so it was like 17 minutes and 3 minutes and 10 minutes and five. It was really all over the place. So this was about 10 p.m. And I went and I woke my husband up and I said, hey, it might be time to call the midwife, but I'm not really sure. Can you just like hang out with me for a few minutes and, you know, let me know what you think? And so I had a few contractions on the bed next to him and he was like, oh, it's time. Yeah, like we gotta go. So he had just fallen asleep like maybe 45 minutes before. So he kind of shoots up and starts brewing some coffee, and I had to let him know, never brew coffee in a place where a laboring woman can smell it. We did a lot of in the moment training in that, but it was really nice to have him there. Like I noticed as soon as he was awake, even if he wasn't in the room, just knowing that he was aware of what was happening, suddenly things softened and it was easier to be with. But I was surprised that I was experiencing back labor. I was experiencing pain. They were so irregular. And I just kind of kept going in my mind of like, why are they irregular? Like, what's happening in there? You know, I'm pretty sure I know his position. He's not posterior. So there was just this like kind of anchor into my mind that was so active and persistent throughout pretty much the whole labor, which was a really interesting thing to experience because I know so many women do have that experience. So my midwives get here and she's, you know, kind of palpating, feeling for baby's position, and he's still ROA like he had been my whole pregnancy. And so it was like, you know, maybe they're just irregular and that's okay. And we'll just, you know, keep a watchful eye. But this is fine. They don't have to be super regular. So once she got here, things picked up pretty quickly. My whole sort of active labor period ended up only being about 4 hours this time. And I kept waiting for my endorphins to kick in. I kept waiting to like go to that labor land, lovely place where you're just, you know, just in the sensory tapestry of it all. But instead I was like, I kept trying to find like, what's my ritual? What's my rhythm? How do I be with this? And so I think I did every single like comfort technique I know. I was tapping on my thigh. I was counting the length of the contraction. So I knew when it, you know, when it would reach its peak, and then they were so irregular, it didn't actually work. I was doing every breathing technique I know. I was on the toilet and on hands and knees and on the birth ball and just kind of like pushing in my previous birth. I was just trying everything to relieve some of the intensity and pain. And I kind of got to this point where I spent a lot of time on the toilet in this birth, which is so funny because I did not want to be there in my first birth. But it was sort of my like place of sitting with myself and talking to myself of like, okay, this is what we're feeling. It's not what we expected. It's different than last time, but this is okay. We can do this. There's nothing wrong about this. There's nothing bad about this. It's just different. And I had this moment where I had to kind of be real with myself of like, okay, this actually hurts. I really didn't want to tell myself that it hurt. I didn't want to admit that. And then the moment I kind of said that out loud to myself of, okay, this actually hurts, it felt incorrect. It felt like pain was too shallow of a word. And then I realized what I'm feeling is power. I am feeling power flow through my body. And that's why it was intense. And from there, the birth took on this different tone that felt more purposeful. And I heard this voice inside of me say, well, one, it's not pain, it's power, but also like, this is your sacred work. And that just, you know, it's like going for a run and being like, oh my gosh, I'm out of steam. And then someone sprays you down with water and gives you, you know, a drink of Gatorade. It was like, okay, I can keep going. This is great. Let's see what happens next. Let me sort through the memories a little bit.
Yeah, take your time because I love the words, it's not pain, it's power. Just how beautiful to reframe. You've done a lot, both last week and this week, like your words of reframing what your experience is so powerful, right? Because our mind often then leads to what our body feels. So I love that thought that it's, you know, not pain, it's power. So take us from there. Like you're really reframing. You've got everybody there now, right? Your midwife, yeah. Your partner, everybody. So what's happening next?
Yeah. So I'm just kind of in this place where I'm like, okay, this brain won't turn off. This sensation, this intense back labor won't go away. So we're just going to accept it. We're going to fully say yes to this feeling, and it's not going to last forever, and it will end. And this whole thing is going to end in the most joyful moment of our lives with this beautiful baby in our arms. So whatever it takes for me to get through it, that's what we need. So I'm kind of trying to like lift the mood at this point. Like I put on some reggae and I'm dancing and the environment is really lovely. Like I wanted almost complete darkness. I had like a little salt lamp and some candles lit. But other than that, it's dark. It's the middle of the night. the midwives are in the other room. I've got total privacy and it's just me and my husband there. So we're dancing and I started to get into the pool, but I had to keep getting out to use the bathroom. And so that kind of became my sort of unintentional ritual, was like, you know, have a contraction in the pool, get out, dry off, go use the toilet, have a contraction there, come back. And it was just, you know, I really wanted to like hunker down and land somewhere, but it just wasn't in the cards. So it was just a lot of movement. And I kept reminding myself, because my doula brain was turned on to 100% in this birth, like, this is all good. All of this movement is helping your baby find those little spaces to move down and turn and make all the movements they need to make. And then I remember having this sense of, am I in transition? Like, these are just right on top of each other. And I'm at this point where I need some counter pressure on my low back or a double hip squeeze. I have to have one or the other. And my husband was amazing with the double hip squeeze. And my midwife, thankfully, they could kind of like bring their skills together, because she just knew the right spot to press on my low back. So she'd come in to check heart tones and see how I was doing. And she would just plant her the heel of her hand on my sacrum. And it was just instant relief. So I really needed a lot of hands-on support at this point. And I'm starting to have that thought of, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Like, I wasn't getting tired. I was just starting to feel, I don't really know the word. I think I was just kind of, there was something in me that was tired. It wasn't my body. It wasn't my mind. It was just, there was something about the intensity that was kind of wearing me down. So right then I have my next contraction and I'm standing with my hands on the side of the birth pool. And this was a pretty tall one. So I'm not leaning over too much. And at the end of the contraction, my tailbone tucks under and I feel myself push. I was like, there's no way I'm pushing yet. And I tell my midwife, I think I just pushed. And like, I kind of grunted with it. And she was like, yeah, you know, we'll see. Like, let's, you know, watch and we'll find out. And then the next contraction, sure enough, there's this huge push that my body's doing. I was like, yes. Thank goodness. I was so excited. Like, okay, we're done with those labor contractions. We're on to the next phase. We're getting there. And I kind of had prepared myself for a long pushing phase again. Oh, I think we're about to get a baby.
So wonderful, right? We have to care, bring our baby into this. Baby heard, you're telling my birth story. I need to be part of it, especially since you're saying that urge to push. So take us from there.
Yeah. So I had really prepared myself mentally for another sort of longer pushing phase. The one with my first baby was about an hour and 45 minutes. And so I just kind of prepared myself of like, okay, we might be in for that, because it was the one part of my older son's labor that was challenging, that really required me to dig deep. I just kind of had in my mind, like, it might be just like that, and that's okay. So one thing that I made sure to do was that even though these pushing sensations, just like in the first birth, felt so intense, I wanted to right away just fully say yes to them. Right away, embrace them, let them move through me. I knew that, you know, it wasn't going to kill me. It wasn't going to be too much. I could handle it. It just felt big. It felt powerful. And so at this point, I'm on my knees in the birth pool and my husband's there right in front of me. And I'm just letting this fetal ejection reflex, this powerful force, just boom, through me with every contraction. And I had heard women talk about, you know, I felt like I was going to split in two. And I always really hated that sentiment, because it's just, you know, it sounds so violent in a way, it sounds so severe. But I had that experience, but it wasn't scary or even painful necessarily. It felt like, and I had this image of this like column of golden light piercing through my crown and coming down my central channel. And like my baby was being carried on that light, but it felt as if that light kind of funneling through my center, it was like it was splitting me in half, in the sense that it was peeling away my old self so that this new mother of two self could emerge. And it was like, right then, I feel the endorphins kick in. I feel all the pleasure flowing through my body. And I just start to smile and moan. And there's video of this on my Instagram if anyone wants to watch this, this baby being born. But I suddenly loved pushing. But it wasn't even me pushing. It was just my body doing it. And I loved hearing the sounds that I was making. You know, I think if you heard me and you didn't know I was having a baby, you'd think I was having a very nice honeymoon or something. And it was just so wonderful, not just to feel myself kind of having come full circle with, oh, I actually love this experience that I really didn't like before. And it's not any less intense this time. It's just, I'm saying yes to it all the way and I'm not afraid of it. But also I was feeling him move down with every single contraction. So I knew this is not going to be a long, long pushing period again. And then we get to that point where I feel his head crowning and I touch him. And it's just, again, gosh, one of the top sensations I think you can feel in your body. And there's something so sacred about being in that place with a little baby head partway out of you. Like you really do have a foot in each world. And I told my husband to feel his head and guided his hand there. And that moment of both of us just giggling and kissing and feeling that slippery little head, it felt completely timeless. I watched the birth video back and it only lasted about 2 minutes, but it just like, that is the moment in his birth that I really, like, I replay that in my mind over and over again. That was pure heaven. And then I think the very next contraction, he came out and I did feel the ring of fire this time, which was interesting because I thought like, oh, I just don't feel it. Right. Like maybe I'm just elastic enough that's not a thing for me. Nope, it was there. And oh gosh, he just came right out. But it was funny because his legs and his hips were still inside of me. I thought he was all the way out and I reached down to grab him and I look and I see that it's just the top half of him. And I had this moment of like, what do I do? Which is funny because I've always felt very, you know, like sort of sure of myself and letting my body lead and following my instincts. But it was the first time I was like, do I pull him out? Do I just wait for the next contraction? And I turned to my midwife and I was about to ask her, like, can I pull him out or should I wait? And I was like, wait a minute, I have instincts. And I just pulled him. And he came up out of the water. He had his little hand by his face as he came out. Oh, so that's why I had probably why I had that back labor and those irregular contractions.
Such a beautiful coming into the world. And look at him. Aww. Thank you for joining us to be here and sharing in your story of being born. That was just so amazing, Karina, you know, to feel your power, to really hear how much you trust your body, but how each birth took you to different places, right? Some people don't realize for the same person, it's a different baby, it's a different labor, a different experience. But if you had to summarize, like, overall, what words come to you that would describe your newest son's birth? What would you say?
Power. There's something about, I don't know if I can reduce it down to a single word, but there's something about how well we are designed for this process, how we have everything within us, not just structurally and hormonally, but there's something in the spirit of women that we can dig deep when we need to. We think that maybe we've reached the bottom of the well of our strength or our endurance or our patience or compassion or whatever it is. And we find that, oh, I'm not at the bottom. It only gets deeper. And maybe it takes a little time and maybe it takes support, but I never get to run out of strength. There's always more to find in myself. And I have found that through motherhood, all of those wells just continually deepen because they have to. Right? You have to find more patience. You have to find more empathy. And so I think it really fortified my trust in myself. my belief in myself and what I'm capable of. And I have my birth flags that I made up on my wall still. But one of them that really stuck with me in the birth and that I still think about all the time was, the stronger my contractions become, the stronger I become. Stronger my contractions become, the stronger I become. And I've had some tough moments, you know, in the postpartum experience where I've been like, the stronger my baby's cries become, the stronger I become, the stronger my exhaustion becomes, the stronger I become. And so it's kind of been this template for any challenges that I encounter. But I really feel like birth as sacred work and pain just being power, and this experience of birth being like, so much of the magic is the intensity. So much of the magic is meeting those points where you think you can't go on any longer, and then you do. You know, I think that's where we really forge our mother self. We forge more maturity in ourselves. So I'm still uncovering that here a few months postpartum, but I almost feel like this most recent birth was even more, it had even more wisdom and lessons for me. You know, the first one was kind of this psychedelic pleasure ride. And this one was really about fortifying my strength and ability. So yeah, both so important. And I'm so grateful for each. And now I see why I couldn't be attached to any particular experience for this birth, because I think I just had the birth I needed to have for my own evolution.
Yeah. Such beautiful words and such wisdom for everyone that's preparing for a birth to be able to bring that strength. And I love your words and affirmations, because as you said, postpartum is off also full of many different emotions and challenges and joys as well. Well, thank you so much for sharing both of your beautiful stories and your newest son with us. And can you share again how people can find you, follow you, and see more of your images?
Yeah. So you can follow me on Instagram at Birth Keepers Library. There's birth videos. I've got a little bit of his birth story, and I share information for pregnancy, birth, postpartum, breastfeeding, kind of the whole childbearing year.
Thank you so much. And thank you for everyone who's joined us, especially who's listened to both of Karina's beautiful, powerful births. Please tag us both. We love to hear from you. We really appreciate you also rating and reviewing the podcast. If you'd like to help us reach more people, every rating we get and review spreads this so we can inspire more people to positively prepare for birth and have a joyful, pleasurable, powerful, and orgasmic birth. So thank you again, Karina, so much. Thank you to all our listeners. We hope you'll join us for next week's episode of the Orgasmic Birth Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Orgasmic Birth Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to learn more about pleasure in birth, parenting, and birth work, visit orgasmicbirth.com/more for my free gifts. And please leave a review about your experience. Reviews help us to reach more people, and please subscribe.